Welcome to a new episode of Chevrons, a podcast for the enlisted force. I hope you all had a safe and enjoyable Thanksgiving, and our thoughts are with those service members who are away from their families during this time. We are very grateful for their dedication and sacrifice. If you're new here, I'm Senior Airman Julia Ahasey, and today I'll be talking to two Chief Master Sergeants in the Air National Guard, Chief Keith Delgado and Chief Joseph Pitta. We will discuss the importance of professional military education and bettering ourselves as we become the best version of ourselves. The skills that you learn in these courses are critical to the development of our future leaders. We will hear from Chief Delgado, the senior enlisted leader of the 102nd Medical Group, and Chief Pitta, the senior enlisted leader of the 267th Intelligence Squadron. Without further ado, let's chat with our guests. Thank you both for joining me on the podcast today. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Yeah. Appreciate it.
So to get started, can you both tell me kind of about your military journey, where you started, and where you are today?
Go ahead, Keith.
You want me to start? I can start, absolutely.
You got it.
My military journey really started, I'll show my age, right, in the early 90s. And when I was able to get through basic training and get my career started, I was very much looking forward to getting into the professional military education. So when I was looking into Airman Leadership School, I finally got into that in about, I'd say, mid to late 90s, getting through Airman Leadership School, understanding what that was all about and preparing me for the future of my career. So I started off in the medical group. I've been in the medical group. So that's where everything started. And I really enjoyed being throughout the medical group throughout my entire career.
And now you're the senior enlisted leader of the 102nd Medical.
Yeah, very excited and, of having that opportunity to actually be there now as the senior enlisted leader to, lead the enlisted force and to also lead the entire medical group and represent the medical group.
Awesome. Chief?
I didn't join the Air Force until I was 20, so I had a bit of a late start. Joined active duty, and I knew probably about 8 months after getting to my first duty station that I was not going to stay on active duty. It was a very different time. It was the early 90s. So I enjoyed my time on active duty, but I knew I didn't want to make it a career. But while I was there, I met a bunch of different guardsmen from a bunch of different locations, every single one of which told me that I had to go back and join the Air National Guard, that there were F-15s at Otis, and I was right down the street from where I grew up. So I got off active duty and came down. I actually didn't do ALS until I got here, and it was after September 11th that I finally did it. So, I really enjoyed my time on active duty, but I really felt like when I came here that this was a place that I wanted to stay for the rest of my life. I was intel on active duty. I was intel here with the F-15s. I had a pit stop in life support before that, but I went back to intel when I could, and then we became an intel wing, so pretty fortunate for me. To have been in a career field that became very important here.
Awesome. Can you talk a little bit about your current role and what you do now?
I'm the senior enlisted leader for the 267th Intelligence Squadron. So in 2020, just as COVID was breaking and we were coming back to work, I was selected to move from the DGS to the cyber side of the house to be the SEL for the 267th.
Awesome. So I understand that you both recently attended an Airman Leadership School graduation. Can you talk a little bit about that experience and what that was like from your perspective?
I'll go first this time. How about we switch?
That's fine.
Everyone? Okay.
That works.
I was excited. Airman Leadership School, my first in-residence PME was NCO Academy, and it meant a lot that my boss at the time and my OIC came down. Chief Piver was the wing command chief at the time, and it meant a lot that they came to my graduation. And then for a long time, for whatever reason, commanders, chiefs, they couldn't go to graduations. So it meant a lot to me to be able to go to one finally. And the fact that it was at Hanscom made it super easy to go up. But to see one again and to be with those people again meant a lot to me. And just the fact that it was kind of in our backyard helped out a lot too.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, the same thing, at Hanscom, it was a great opportunity to be there. Kind of brought me back full circle, like I mentioned before, being able to return there after so many years of being there myself, right? So I was right there in that seat, like I said, back in 1997. So just being there was a great feeling to be able to represent, like I said, the medical group, and then represent and be there to see one of our members graduate there. So, you know, great opportunity to see that, and just to see the teamwork and the camaraderie, and just, you know, the feeling of them completing and accomplishing, you know, a task that they were all put together to do. So just being there as a whole was rewarding. And again, I think it was very much appreciated of the students that were there too, going through that, that we were there to be there as well.
So do you remember your time at ALS? Do you remember what that experience was like? And do you have any stories that you want to share from that time?
Quite interesting. So when I was there, you know, they talked about a volleyball competition, right? So, you know, that was against, I believe, the top three. So I did have that experience. And if they have that as a tradition, kudos on them, because I think that's great if that's still a tradition, because we played volleyball against the top three, you know, so many years ago. But just seeing that story of what they were doing, the competitive nature that they were going through, and I think that wrapped everything up, right, based on what they were going through, whether it's, you know, studying together, you know, doing work together, helping each other out. So a kind of a small story, when I was playing volleyball at the end of the course, we had a member that never played volleyball and didn't really have a lot of sports background. And the first thing you wanted to do when you see the competition is when the ball's hit to them and they can't do it, you sort of want to laugh, but it's really not funny, because, you know, they want to be part of, you know, the team. They want to help. And so, therefore, you quickly change your mindset. Okay, you know, we've been working together. We've been, you know, studying together. We've been helping each other out. Well, this is now a good chance to help that individual out. So, you know, pull them aside, show them a little bit of what to do, how to do it, and to be a team player and a team member in just a simple thing as a volleyball game, right? So I think that's something that I'll always remember, you know, when I was going through, you know, way back in the day.
So I didn't get to do ALS in residence. I did it via correspondence, and then a couple years later, I got to do NCO Academy in residence at Tyndall. So that was kind of my first in-residence PME, and you learn a lot. I, you know, had deployed a couple times before that, and you learn a lot on deployments, a ton of TDYs, and you learn a lot on those too. But in the PME setting, you know, you get that historical background, you get kind of, you know, the leadership aspect of it. But I think the thing you get is the engagements with everyone. There are still instructors from other PME schools as well. There are still instructors and people that I talk to in my class. We've, like, you know, remained in contact. So I think that's the biggest thing I think you get, is those engagements and meeting people and kind of seeing how other places do things, how other people approach problems. One of the coolest things about NCO Academy that I remember is I get to meet Chief Airy. He passed away not long after that, but, you know, he was born in Quincy, went to school in Fall River. So they made me kind of his liaison for the day, and I get to bring him in. He was doing those quite often, so he was more familiar with Tyndall than I was. But just to be able to hang out with him for an hour or two was really, really neat, and kind of talk to him. He was a firecracker, man. Yeah. That guy, yeah, he was pretty cool. So really a great experience, that first PME experience that I had.
Great, and that was one of my questions is, you both went to the NCO Academy, Senior NCO Academy, and then Chief Master Sergeant Leadership Academy?
It's called SMSOC. Yeah, so okay. It's a...
I did CLC, okay. not SMSOC. SMSOC is the guard one, I believe.
Yes.
And I did CLC, which is the active duty one.
Great. Do you want to tell me anything that you learned during that time, any stories that stand out that you keep with you today, that you experienced while at that school?
CLC was really amazing. It was 2 weeks long, and I think I got to discuss with my class. First of all, I got there, and I was the only guard guy in my flight. There were about 100 of us there, but my class of 9 or 10, I was the guard guy. And I realized that the chiefs on active duty are so much younger. They're, you know, because they're 23, 24-year career, you know, they're 10, 15 years younger than me sometimes. So, but getting to talk to those guys and see how they handle active duty problems, see how they handle problems within their career field was really, really cool. one of the things that we talked about, and I'd like to think that I made a difference, maybe, perhaps, but we talked about the way enlisted PME is handled versus officer PME. It really struck me that I wanted to go do something after class one day, and one of my, you know, the guy that sat next to me, the chief that sat next to me, said, oh, I got to review EPRs, I can't go. And I said, well, why are you reviewing EPRs? You know, you get 2 weeks to do this. And, well, you know, it doesn't stop. It just happened to fall on a SCOD date, so he had to. And I thought, we brought it up to the instructor, like, why when officers go, do they basically go to the class and only do that class for the most part and get, say, 6 weeks or 8 weeks of strategic thinking and those leadership engagements? Chiefs got 2 weeks, and they were expected to do their job at home, too. CLC has been rewritten. It's now much longer, or the curriculum is being rewritten, and it'll be much longer. So I like to think maybe I had a part in kind of helping future generations chiefs maybe get a little bit more strategic thinking, be able to keep up with their commanders or whoever they're, you know, advising, and just make the Air Force just a little bit better, hopefully.
And that SIMSOC is a Chief Master Sergeant Orientation course, right? So when you went through there, for me, it was about the mission and people, right? So those are the things that we look at a lot, right? You can't do that mission without the people. And being part of decision-making, you know, trying to problem solve, get to the point where we need to execute the mission based on what we have with resources, people. So a lot of those four major graded areas that we talk about a lot with, you know, mission and leading people, right, executing, you know, the resources and, you know, trying to improve the unit, right? We're looking at all of that information. So for me, that's the biggest thing I got out of there was, you know, leading people to execute the mission. So,
so you said that you attended both virtually and then in residence for two different PME schools. Can you both talk about the benefits of both? And maybe I know that you said you learned a lot from being in residence. Kind of talk about the benefits of that as well.
Yeah, being in residence, I think, is, you know, you get to see different personalities, right? I mean, and from all backgrounds, right? You're there, you're experiencing that, right? So, you're coming up with, you know, certain situations where you deal with people when you don't necessarily, when you're doing it basically, you know, by correspondence, right? So there, you know, it's time management, you're dealing with that, you know, side of things. But I think being in residence gives you that opportunity to interact more and to work together as a group, you know, to get to where you want to be, based on differences, like I said, of opinions and thoughts and processes. So to me, I do feel like it's better to be in residence, but I understand, you know, in the Guard, there are, you know, life happens. So therefore, sometimes that, you know, that's an opportunity that can be taken for sure to do it by correspondence, and there's nothing wrong with that. But again, personally, in residence is a great experience.
Yeah, I think the exact same thing. At correspondence, I did ALS, and I was on Title 10 here, so really wasn't an opportunity to go quite as much, and I wanted to get ALS done and out of the way, so I had a good opportunity to do it, and I didn't really know the difference at the time. So when I got to go to NCO Academy, excuse me, and then the other academies, you learn just how valuable in residence is, and you know, all the extra stuff you're going to get out of it is just really what makes it special, what why you go.
Right. So overall, can you talk about the importance of professional military education and why everyone should seek opportunities to attend when they can?
Sure. I mean, you know, I think if people, as they grow, especially in the Air Force, you realize that it's sort of a small community, no matter where you are in the Air Force. Like I said, I know people from NCO Academy, Senior NCO Academy, CLC, that I still talk to quite a bit. And I think, you know, that's the important part of getting to go, no matter what it is, whether it's PME or anything else, but PME especially. You focus on your peer group, you know, you team build there, you learn so much about how the Air Force does things just from getting in those engagements and talking to people. I think it's just what people will find the most rewarding is just meeting the people and getting those engagements.
I agree. You know, a lot of networking is, you know, you get that opportunity to network with others. You build those relationships. So I do agree with that. One thing, you know, you talk about opportunities. You know, I just had a conversation with a couple of our officers where our enlisted have a lot of opportunities. So we need to provide and help them engage in those opportunities. You know, you can absolutely give them the information. So for me, once they are given that information, is what are they going to do with that? So they should, you know, really take those opportunities, especially while they're young and going through their junior enlisted years, because that's the time frame where maybe you can develop yourself, which will help you later on develop others. So to me, I think early on in your career, you take those opportunities because life does hit. You know, we are in the Air National Guard. So, you know, sometimes we tend to get more on our plate as we get older. But at the end of the day, if you can do that early on and take those opportunities for development, that's really, to me, my recommendation, for, especially for the junior enlisted.
Were you able to apply anything that you learned during professional military education and apply outside your military career?
Bringing up a family, right? You know, I've learned a lot just to maturity, right? Bringing up a family, three kids, you know, that I've had, now all adult children. So successful in their own right. Been able to, you know, have three kids go through college and get, you know, education. So, you know, those are the things where I learned trying to build, you know, relationships outside of here, have them understand networking and, you know, what they need to do to be successful. So, yeah, a lot of it is just building a family and family life in general.
Yeah, a lot of those things I think are on the same line with me, just problem solving, learning how to deal with issues when they arise. You know, PALS will teach you how to deal with airmen. NCO Academy, you know, builds on that and does all those things. And they teach you kind of how to deal with problems when they arise and how to deal with certain situations. I know both Keith and I coach a lot of baseball, and I find a lot of parallels between dealing with airmen, or, you know, especially my first termers, but NCOs as well, and the kids on my team. I find a lot of parallels between the two, and, you know, can draw on a lot of experiences from both to kind of apply to each other sometimes and maybe solve a problem.
Yeah. So how can airmen develop themselves personally and professionally outside of PME? What are different resources that they could take advantage of, or just habits that they could adopt to continue to better themselves?
I think I tell people all the time, you know, when I see retired friends of mine and they ask how's the wing going and stuff like that, I tell them this generation of airmen is the most unbelievably smart generation of airmen I've ever seen. When I was young and on active duty, school was a thing. Yeah, we have those opportunities. You know, you should take advantage of them. I mean, that's all they ever said. But these guys, the airmen today, I mean, are unbelievable with their drive to get school done. And then I think it's just a personal interest in the military to kind of learn those things. Part of the thing I love about PME, and then when you get to go TDYs and do all those things, is the history that you learn and the things that you can find out about the Air Force. You know, it really hasn't been around the Air Force all that long. So, you know, there's a lot to learn still, and a lot of lessons in there that we learn. I just think that's the cool part about being in the Air Force, is just learning that history and then being able to kind of learn from that or apply that to where you're going.
And I say history in general. I'm very much interested in history. I look at a lot of documentaries, different decades. So history in general, just trying to educate yourself on the history of America, the history of the world, you know, where we've been and where we're going. You know, one thing that I look back at is the veterans, you know, and I spent a lot of time with veterans. So I encourage airmen to get out with our older community. See what they went through. I'm around a lot of veterans that have served basically just during a war or 2 to 3 years, whatever it may be, they're very proud of what they did and what they accomplished. They look at me and say, oh, you've been in for over 30 years. That's amazing, right? So they look at me that I'm amazing, but then they're very proud of what they did as well. So, you know, I recommend for a lot of our airmen to get out there and kind of interact with a lot of our older veterans who have experienced what they have at the times. And if you look back at it, those 3 years might have been almost equivalent to my 30 years of what they went through during that period of time. Yeah. So that's why I respect what they did over you know, their years. The one thing that I was very much happy that I was able to get involved with is the monument that's right outside the Bourne Gate. You know, so right outside the main gate, the monument, it just represents all of our veterans, you know, for all these years of what they did. So being involved with that and getting that, you know, erected outside of the main gate was, you know, a source of pride. And so, like, I feel that, you know, that pride of doing that, and they're going to see that when they do, you know, certain events and get involved outside in the community. So that just, you know, helps overall of developing yourself and understanding how you can help the community as a whole.
What is your best advice and guidance for those who would like to meet and talk to veterans and get involved and don't know where to start? And then maybe any recommendations too for learning more about history, any of your favorite documentaries or resources or books or museums that you like to go to?
For me, History Channel, Smithsonian Channel. Okay. You know, those are the things where you can look at, like I said, different decades. Get out to your VFWs, your American Legion Halls, your Elks Clubs. Mm-hmm. You know, get out there. Maybe even if you just want to look into a quick membership just to kind of get involved and kind of, you know, talk with them a little bit. And maybe you don't need a membership. Maybe you can just come in and say, hey, you know, introduce yourself. You know, I'm Airman so-and-so. I work down at, you know, at Otis State National Guard Base. You know, just, you know, have a conversation with them. You can easily get out. And obviously, you know, like you mentioned before, kids are, you know, the younger airmen are very smart on, you know, looking information up, finding where to go, using a simple search engine to find your local, like I said, VFW or American Legion Hall.
You know, there's plenty of stuff around, you know, if you want to look just inside the wing. And then I agree, I watch a lot of History Channel and read a lot of books about the Air Force as well. Skunk Works is great. If you've never read it, Ben Rich wrote Skunk Works. It's awesome. Very good book.
What advice would you give yourself when you were a junior enlisted airman? Big question.
That is great.
Talking about PME, talking about everything you've learned since you've joined. If you could give one piece of advice, what would you say to them?
Wow. I think it's something that I took to heart back then that I tell people now too, is that never pass up an opportunity because you think, you know, it might not be the best opportunity, or you don't feel like doing it, or someone else told you, oh, that wasn't that great. Now, you kind of got to do things for yourself. I kind of had that, you know, attitude when I was young. People, oh, I don't want to go do that. And I always wanted to kind of be out and about and going and doing things and meeting people and running around. I try to tell people that now, and I told my squadron when I went over to cyber, when I moved over to cyber, I told them, you know, if you invest in different things, people, places, opportunities, you will be invested in. And I think that's still true. Like, you know, the more you're out there, the more you're going to get back and the more you're going to learn. It's easy to put your head down, go forward and not really pick anything up, and you'll get it done. You'll achieve tasks and you'll make rank to a certain point probably, but, you know, having a wide aperture and taking in a bunch of things and getting opportunities and doing different things will help you along the way a ton.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me. I mean, I don't have a lot of regrets. Maybe some do-overs I'd like to have, you know?
Of course.
But I don't like to, like, consider them as regrets. But what I would really push to the, you know, the junior enlisted younger airmen is to, yes, take advantage of the opportunities. There are plenty of opportunities, like we discussed before. So I think, you know, if you can really, you know, tackle those, and like I said, early on is probably the better for you because you learn a lot as you kind of, you know, make your way through the ranks. So I would say just, you know, take advantage of the opportunities. So if I would go back, I would do more. I'd like to say that I did a lot, You know, I was able to, you know, as a senior airman, go to the Olympics in 1996. That was fantastic, a great experience. But I think more would actually, you know, help out throughout the years and take advantage of opportunities when they present themselves.
Right. What is the best way for airmen to find those opportunities?
I mean, stay engaged. And I think we talk about networking, you know, get with the right people. You know, there are plenty of, you know, people who have been through those experiences, know where to look up the information. So I think a lot of it is just absolutely networking and building, you know, relationships, you know, finding a mentor, you know, someone that can help lead you to, you know, finding out where, you know, those possibilities lie.
I think that's exactly it. It's showing that you're interested, mm-hmm. I think, is the first step. Because, like, if you put your head down and you're not really paying attention to what's going on, you're going to miss certain opportunities. If you're not engaging with your first shirt or your chief or your squadron commander or even your DO, if you're not engaging, sometimes people won't go to you with those things. The people who kind of engage will get thought of first. So I know when things come up, I think of who in my squadron would be good for that. And sometimes it is the person with the head down. I think they'd be great for it, so I kind of want to give them that opportunity. But a lot of times it's the people who I know are dying to go TDY or, you know, are dying to get outside and do something. Those are the people that will be thought of first. You just got to stay engaged. And a lot of times you can ask, like, I don't have anything in mind, but here's what I'm thinking, and this is what I want to do. And then someone will go do that for you. I'll go find something for someone, a school or a TDY or an exercise. I'll try and do my best. And sometimes I call those people that I met at PME and say, hey, what's going on? You know, I know a lot of people at Nellis, and there's a lot of stuff going on at Nellis. So, you know, just be engaged and be interested, and I think good things happen.
Last question. What is the best piece of leadership advice you've ever received throughout your time? This could be related to PME. This could be related to just your time in the military. Best piece you've ever received.
Wow. There's a lot over the years. I can think of a couple.
Sure.
But I think of one that comes to mind when I was kind of, I don't want to say struggling, but I was having a tough time. And really, I had a shop full of people that was growing at the time, and it was really kind of a struggle to keep up. And I kind of had a conversation with my boss. I remember it was a Friday before drill, which is always crazy, and it was kind of getting late in the afternoon, and he basically slapped the table. He said, do everything you can today, and then come back tomorrow and do everything you can tomorrow. And it kind of just let me think, like, all right, at some point you can't just keep working. You're going to drive yourself crazy, but you can do everything you can do today, and do everything you can do today, and then don't worry about the rest. You know, it'll be there tomorrow when you get back. So I think, you know, of all the things, that's one thing that sticks with me, because, you know, the tempo of work and the problems that arise and how things come at you, sometimes you kind of have to, I'll use a medical term for Keith, you have to triage those things and say, okay, these are the five most important things today, and I'm going to get those things done, and then these things can be pushed off till tomorrow. So I think that's, you know, of all the things, I think that's one of the things I remember on a day-to-day basis.
Right, trying not to burn yourself out. I mean, that's too easy.
Yeah, work-life balance and everything else, you know, it's important. You can burn yourself out pretty quick.
Right.
Yeah, for me, I was told, hey, be authentic, right? Be yourself. And I'm a true believer of that, right? I'm not going to try to be somebody that I'm not. So I take that not only in the military, but, you know, like Joe was mentioning, you know, we do things outside of here, whether it's coaching, whether it's, you know, building our family, or day-to-day at work, you know, in the military. Be myself and be authentic. So to me, that was, you know, a long time ago, someone said, just be yourself, be who you are. You don't have to change. We know there are rules and regulations and things that we need to follow. But within that, you know, be who you are. And I think that was, you know, one of the bigger pieces of advice that I was given, you know, quite some time ago.
Well, thank you both for sharing. Is there any last piece of advice or wisdom that you'd like to share about PME, about the military career, anything?
go.
No, I mean, I appreciate the opportunity. Like yeah. I said, I mean, I'm very proud to be where I am because it gives me the opportunity to lead in a position where, you know, in a place, I should say, that I was able to grow up in. You know, so having that opportunity and kind of seeing the transition over the years, there have been many changes, right? And so going through those changes and having the opportunity to be there and see that and be involved with that, you know, it's just a great feeling. So for me, it's just having that opportunity for sure.
Yeah, I say go. Go anything. Go PME, go TDY, go classes, exercises. Do as much as, you know, your life will allow you to do. And I think you'll find a ton of benefit from it, even if it isn't the best location or the best opportunity, you know, for you at that time. If you can go.
Well, thank you both so much for joining me on the podcast and for this awesome conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you for having us.